The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Now, one of the first things that we want to talk about this morning is we're going to talk about what fasting is. First of all, I want to talk about what fasting is not. Fasting is not a diet. Fasting is not giving up food because you feel like you want to lose weight or whatever your purpose is. Fasting has a specific purpose, and that is to draw you closer, drive you into the presence of God. And for a biblical fast, if you need to find out, what we want to do is find out what a Bible-based fast is. It entails and it involves food and water, or food and liquids. We're going to talk about the different types of fasts here. But here's what I want you to understand as we talk about fasting. And according to everything that I have studied on fasting, that it does have to do with giving up food. Now, it's not to say if the Holy Spirit speaks to you and tells you during our special time of prayer and fasting to give up television, that you shouldn't do that. In fact, I think that's a good thing. We'd probably all be better off if we just throw our TVs out. However, that's very hard, isn't it? You know, we all have special, you know, we probably don't spend as much time in front of the TV as the average person. But we all have programs that we like to watch. I'm normally watching basketball or football or, you know, something, some kind of sport on TV. Once in a while, Tammy will have, she likes to watch Duck Dynasty. So we have that on. That's about the only thing I think she ever watches. And, you know, if you're going to watch TV, watch Duck Dynasty. I got to say that. It's a crazy show, but it's clean. Good moral values. Amen? Okay, well, anyhow, what I'm trying to say is that if the Holy Spirit speaks to you about giving up something, you can give up something. But what I'm trying to do is to show you from the Bible what a biblical fast is. And a biblical fast, it involves giving up food and giving up and or drink. In fact, excuse me, Strong's Enhanced Lexicon says a fast is this: to abstain as a religious exercise from food and drink, either entirely, if the fast lasts for a short period of time, or from customary and choice nourishment if it continued several days. And we're going to look at three different types of fasts that are in the Bible, and try to understand how important it is for us to choose the proper fast and when the particular fast needs to be chosen. Biblical fast, according to the Dictionary of Biblical Language, is fast. It just simply means to go without food. So when we talk about fasting, it is very clear from the Bible that it is abstaining from food. So there's three types of fast that I've already said. Number one, an absolute fast. You can find this in Esther chapter 4, verse 16. They proclaimed a three-day fast, total fasting, food and liquids, food and water. Now listen, this is an extreme fast. When you go out without food and liquids, it can be very harmful to your body. So you have to know that you are healthy enough to do this type of fast. You have to hear from God about this type of fast. And you need to make sure that you're not doing it for a long period of time. This type of fast is for a short period. 3 days is a long time for a food and water fast. Within 3 days, your body begins to shut down if you don't have the right liquids. So this is extreme. But I want to tell you something. In this situation, there was extreme need. These people, if you don't know the story, there was a man by the name of Haman who hated the Jews and hated Mordecai, Esther's uncle. And he wanted to wipe out the Jews completely. So he had the king put forth an edict that said that all the people could destroy the Jews on a certain date. The good thing is that God had Esther in a good place. He had already... God, listen, when you're in a bad situation, it's not because God didn't know it was going to happen. God saw what was going to happen long before Mordecai had any intention of destroying the Jews. God knew it. Therefore, I want you to know, I want you to take heart this morning. No matter what your situation is, God knew it was going to happen. And if you were willing to be obedient to the Lord, He has you strategically placed to be able to deal with it. And if it's not you that He has strategically placed, He has other people strategically placed in your life to deal with it. Amen? Mordecai, he was the guy that Haman was really upset with, but God strategically placed Esther so that it could be dealt with. So this situation was it was critical. It was extreme. So what if somebody died from fasting? They were going to die anyhow. Amen? So it's worth being extreme over, isn't it? You know, you don't worry about whether the consequences of fasting might take you down when you know that they're going to come in with weapons and wipe you out. So what did they do? They proclaimed a fast of food and water for 3 whole days. And guess what happened? God heard their prayer. God moved on their behalf. And the people were saved. Esther went into the king. Now, here's what the reason she was asking them to pray and fast was because she was risking her life to go before the king. You couldn't go into the presence of the king without him, an issue, saying, come. And she was going to go in unannounced. And if he didn't put forth his scepter, she would die. And she knew it. It was dangerous. She went into the king, and the king had favor for her. And she was able to explain to him what was going on, and a whole kingdom was saved. But listen, all the people, all the Jewish people took part in the prayer and fasting. I'm calling you, as a body of Christ, take part in this prayer and fasting. It's that important. I believe we are to a place where it's extreme. We have extreme consequences ahead of us if we don't see this nation turn back to God. And this area may just be our little part of it. I don't care. I want to do what we can do. It would be wonderful if revival would start right here and sweep this nation. Hallelujah. Amen. But if it doesn't, if it just starts here and sweeps our area, that's okay too. Hallelujah. Let it start someplace else. Let the fire begin all over this nation. Let the power of God be released in every area, every nook and cranny of this nation. We need it. We need revived. We need stirred. We need to come to a place where God is more important to us than the ball games.
Yes, sir.
Amen? Amen? And I'm not opposed to ball games. You know I like ball games. They're wonderful. But is God more important to us than the ball games? Is God more important to us than fishing? Whatever. You know, we all have our things we like, right? You can all name something. It's important to you? Is that thing more important to you than God? If it is, we definitely need some prayer and fasting to get it out. Mm-hmm. Get rid of it. Hallelujah. Absolute fast is extreme. A normal fast, you can find this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 2, 1 and 2. This is where Jesus was led into the wilderness. Now, here's something that is extremely important. It just says that he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. That's a long time to go without food. And we realize that Jesus was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. But he was in the flesh. So don't make any mistake thinking, well, he was so spiritual that he was above his flesh. No. He was in the flesh. He walked on the, he's just like us. And he had the same temptations, the same desires, the same passions, the same needs as we have. And food and water was one of them. And yet, he decided, the Bible actually says that the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Now, here's what happened. Jesus was baptized by John and filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he went into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days. This is a normal fast, but it was a long fast. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to you about fasting, you need to get a word from him. When do you start and when do you finish? It's important because without a starting and finishing time, it'll just be helter-skelter in your fasting. One day you'll say, yeah, I'll fast. The next day, nah, I'm not going to do that. Back and forth. You've got to establish a specific time that you're going to do this and seek God and hear from God. So that's a partial fast. You know, the interesting thing about Jesus' ministry, if you read the New Testament, you'll find that nothing significant happened in his ministry until after he prayed and fasted. That's good. That shows us just how important it is, because if it was important to Jesus, it's important probably much more to us. The third type of fast is a partial fast. Daniel 10, 2 and 3. And Daniel was fasting, seeking God, trying to discern some things. And it says this in that particular scripture. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. 21 days he prayed and fasted. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Daniel, this is a partial fast. And I believe in partial fasts, there's a lot of room for choosing a type of fast and abstaining from certain or any kind of food that you feel like God is speaking to you to give up. And in Daniel's case, he wasn't taking any of the king's delicacies, anything that was pleasant to him. He was eating things that would sustain him, but were not the delicacies of the kingdom. And let me tell you something. In that kingdom, there were a lot of delicacies. Every day they were before him. How many have ever fasted in here? Somebody just give me a hand. Okay, good. That's good. If you haven't fasted, I just want to encourage you. And there's no condemnation for having not fasted up to this point. But now that you know the importance of fasting, you should. It's a part of your life. It should be. But if you're fasting, and we live in a society and a culture where there's all kinds of foods every day. If you've ever fasted and sat down in front of the television, that was a mistake. Yeah. Amen? All the things that are that they advertise, why do you want to torture yourself like that? Because, you know, there's going to be advertisement after advertisement of food and wonderful tasting things everywhere you go. Listen, there's always a reason not to fast. Well, I have this dinner meeting, or I'm supposed to go to grandma's on Sunday, or you know, whatever. There's always a reason not to fast. You got to put those reasons aside. You got to make sure that this is the important thing. Drawing you closer, sharpening your edge with the Lord, getting closer to the Lord. So this third type of fast, it's pretty open to interpretation for an individual. It might be an individual thing that God would ask you to give up during our time of fasting, and it might be several things. But whatever it is, I believe you're going to hear from God. And you should have already heard from God what He wanted you to do. But I'm just trying to bring this teaching so that we all have an understanding of where we are with prayer and fasting. A couple of things I want to share with you is that fasting is not a religious exercise to impress anybody. You know, Jesus told the Pharisees that they're fasting. Or actually, He taught the disciples not to be like the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees, fasting was all about somebody knowing what they were doing. They'd blow trumpets, shofars. They'd make a big scene of it. They would tell everybody that they were fasting. They wanted everybody to know. And their purpose in that was to get glory. And Jesus told them, well, you've received all the glory you're going to get. You've received everything you're going to get from God when you do it for that reason. Now, here's something I want to share with you that I have learned probably the hard way with fasting. And that is that there are times that you don't be so religious about your fasting that you're going to keep it a secret at all cost. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying here? Because what I have learned is that the Word of God does teach, and Jesus said that you're not supposed to go around telling people that you're fasting. However, there are certain times that you do need to share that with people. And for instance, in my case, what I learned the hard way was that I should share that with my wife. Because it's not a good thing for me to choose to fast for 3 days and for her to go through all the trouble of fixing me a big meal. And then I say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not eating. That's very painful for me. So, you know, we don't want to be religious about this thing to the point where, oh, I can't say a thing to anybody. Well, there are certain times. You know, we went to Bob Evans, a pastor's meeting this past week, and of course I'm fasting all day long, and I didn't eat anything. Pastor Greg is fasting as well, so neither one of us is eating. And one of the pastors sitting with us said, "Wait, what's up? You make me feel bad. I'm not eating." So I felt like, it was appropriate for his sake to say, "Well, we're fasting for fresh oil and new wine." Well, I did, and then somebody made the comment, well, you're not supposed to tell anybody that you're fasting. You know, I didn't say anything about it, but I thought, man, that is a really religious spirit. Because what they were doing was they were imposing what they thought my motivation was for that, and they had no idea. No idea. So we got to be careful with that. But it is important. And we don't go around. We don't proclaim, I'm fasting. Hallelujah. I want everybody to know I'm fasting. Well, that's your reward. I hope that's good for you. That's what you get. But the Bible says if we pray and we fast in secret, God will reward us openly. Whew, hallelujah. I want you to understand how good that is. That's openly rewarding His people for doing something that draws us closer to Him. We can trust that He's going to do that. Amen. All right. Fasting is the duty of every Christian. In Luke chapter 6, verse 40, it says a disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Now, we know that Jesus prayed and fasted. So, He was our example. Therefore, it's part of a spiritual discipline that we should be a part of. It's what we should do as believers in Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5, verse 33 through 35. If you have your Bibles, your iPad, your phone, whatever it is that you have your Bible on. Amen. You know, I had to come to grips with the reality that of the technology, that the technological world that we live in, and realize that just because people are not bringing this Bible, the printed word, into the church all the time, doesn't mean they don't have a Bible with them. Now, there are so many sources out there today. So, open your Bible, your iPad, your phone. Luke chapter 5, verse 33 through 35. Then they said to him, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink?" And he said to them, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom was with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days." So here's what we can glean from that scripture and other scriptures, and particularly the one, Luke 6:40, is that it's a discipline that every believer is supposed to walk in. Prayer, reading the Word, studying, giving, and fasting. It's a part of our spiritual discipline. And we need to have that in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. Because the third thing it does, it breaks the bondage of the enemy. Let me tell you something. Good or bad, when you fast, whatever's in you is going to come to the surface. That's the way it's designed. I don't care what it is, what kind of hurt and pain, what kind of difficulties you have been bearing in your life. If you will pray and fast along with it, it will come to the surface, and the Spirit of God will deal with it for you. The Holy Spirit will do it because you've been willing to allow it to come to the surface. But as long as you keep bearing it and bearing it and bearing it, the Spirit of God cannot deal with it because you're hiding it away. You got to let it come up. It's got to come out. It's got to come to the surface. God wants to do that for you. When Nehemiah was fasting and praying about the plight of the people who were left in Jerusalem after the Babylonians had destroyed them and they'd all been in captivity for 70 years, but there was some that had been left behind. And he was praying and he was fasting and he was asking God what he can do, what can be done. He was seeking the face of God. One of the things that he did, I want you to listen to this, in Nehemiah 1:6, "Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned." He was willing to repent. He was willing. His prayer and fasting brought him to the place of realization that they had all done wrong and they needed to get things right. And he cried out to God, "Forgive us, God. Forgive us." And I believe that's part of what fasting will do for us. It'll bring us to a place as a group and as individuals where we understand there are things in our lives that need to be dealt with. It'll come to the surface and God will deal with it and move us on to a new level with Him. Let me tell you something. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I'm not trying to lay any kind of guilt on anybody. I want you free. I want you free to be able to minister to people wherever you go. I want you to be so free that when the Holy Spirit says, "I want you to stop and go tell that person over there about the kingdom or a word that I've given you," you don't hesitate. You're free enough to know that God is speaking to you, and you go do it.
That's right.
You go touch their life. And I believe there is opportunities every day for all of us if we would just prepare ourselves to minister to people. And yet we are inhibited. We're afraid. We have fear and anxiety that rises up inside of us. I'm including myself in this. It's there. I believe it truly is time for God's people to fast and pray. Not just pray, fast and pray. How many know who T.L. Osborne is? T.L. Osborne? Anybody in here? Few people. Not very many. Wow. Well, he was one of the great fathers of faith, healing. He was one of the first guys. In fact, he is attributed to starting the open air type ministries in most of the third world type nations, where he would just go out and set up and preach, and people would come, and thousands were saved and healed and set free, delivered. All kinds of wonderful things happened. He passed away in February, I believe. I was just doing a little bit of research. I didn't know that, but he passed away at the age of 98, I believe. Lived a good long life, served God. But one of the things that T.L. Osborne attributed the success of his ministry was being a regular faster, fasting and praying and seeking God's will. And when he went to minister, listen, these things are all documented. This is not make-believe stuff. People were physically healed. Demons were cast out. Things happened in people's life. I saw a little clip with him, and he was asked, why is it that things seem to happen over there and they don't happen in the United States? And he simply said, well, you know, we have options.
Yeah.
If we have a pain, we can take an aspirin. If that doesn't work, we can go get a prescription. If that doesn't work, we go to the hospital. We have options. He said, those people, most of them do not have options. They have faith. Wow. But for us, you know what? I think if we're going to get to that point, it's going to take prayer and fasting. We got to deny ourselves a little bit. We got to give up some things. We got to rule over King's stomach. Amen? For most of us, that's what rules our life. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, we put a lot of time into thinking about what we're going to eat, where we're going to eat, when we're going to eat, how much we're going to eat. Amen? Come on. We're human. How good it's going to be. Fasting will cause you to rule over King's stomach. Amen. Hallelujah. I got to tell you, that's not original with me. That's Jensen Franklin's thing. That's what he called it. It was King's stomach. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 through 14 says this. Now for, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. So rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave blessings behind him, a grain offering, a drink offering for the Lord your God. Before we can receive the blessings of God, our fasting must tear our heart. We must come to the place where we are seeking the face of God and desiring God so much that our heart is just torn into. That's when the Holy Spirit can come and mend it. Weep and mourn. Tear your heart. Let me give you a picture of what it looks like when we pray and fast, when a group of people pray and fast and are on track with God. Now, I shared this scripture with you last week or a couple weeks ago. Isaiah chapter 58. But here's what it's like when we do it God's way. Isaiah 58, 8 and 9. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall bring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. I don't know about you, but that sounds wonderful to me. Our light's going to break forth. Our power is going to be go out. People are going to be touched. And guess what? God's got our back. Amen. I can't tell you how many times I've had people say, I've got your back, Pastor. Yeah, and they had a knife too. I just get to the point where I just say, don't tell me that stuff. You know, don't tell me that God's called you here and you're going to be here forever and the duration. Just come and show me. That's all. Just show me what God has called you to. Show me what you're going to do. Show me how faithful you're going to be. I don't need your words. I need your action.
Amen, sir.
Amen. Rear guard. That's our God. He's got a rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. Stop blaming other people. Stop speaking wicked words about others. Get your life. Be concerned. Listen to me. Please, listen closely. Every one of us has somebody that we need to be very concerned about. Very concerned about. And that's you. That's me. Yeah, we're supposed to pray for other people. Yeah, we should be concerned about. But buddy, when it comes to are we living right before God, I need to take care of myself and stop looking around and trying to find out whether other people are living right or not.
Yeah.
It's much more important. I'm going to tell you, fasting will bring you to that place where you look at yourself, where you're able to look inside and really be honest with yourself. When you don't have food in the way, it drives you to the face of God. Drives you there. That's why it says prayer and fasting. See, the fasting is supposed to take you to prayer. Every time you think about how wonderful that steak at Outback is, how delectable, how tasty that those sides are, the French fries or the baked potato, or I like sweet potatoes with everything, loaded, salad. We have a blooming onion to start off with. Are you guys hungry? Every time we start thinking about that stuff, it's meant to drive us to God. It's to cause us to have authority over our flesh. Get close to our God. Wow. Praise God, yeah. An Outback commercial. Spiritual, according to this scripture, spiritual, emotional, financial, physical healing breaks forth when people get this fasting thing right. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want these things to take place. I'm willing to make some sacrifice. It's not always easy, but it's right, and it's good, and it's what we should do. Pastor Jensen Franklin says that he's the pastor of Free Chapel Church in Gainesville, and in his book simply titled Fasting, he says that he believes that because of they have an annual fast every year, 21 days, the first of the year. And he said there's been some incredible miracles take place. And he contributes the congregation praying, fasting, and seeking God to all these miracles and things that happen. One of the things that has happened, which, you know, I could use a little bit of, we could use it around here, and that is their debt being paid off. He said that 1 year, in 1 year, they fasted, they prayed, they sought God, and in that year, a person came and gave $1 million toward their debt. 1 million. They called him up and said, "Pastor, I got a gift for you." Whew, did he ever? $1 million. That wasn't all, though. One person came and gave 500,000. Another person gave 250. Another gift was 50,000. Hallelujah. I'll take any of them. Hallelujah. And not to mention, he said, you know, he said, those were wonderful gifts, but our whole congregation pulled together and everybody gave and our debt was paid off. Hallelujah. You may not have $50,000. You know, there was plenty of people in his congregation didn't have that kind of income, didn't have that kind of the money stuffed away in the bank. It's not about how much you have. It's about whether you're going to be faithful when God speaks to you. It's about whether you hear the voice of God and that you're willing. Do you trust? Do you believe? I just got to lay it on the line. Do you believe in this church? Do you believe in your pastor? Do you believe in the leadership? That's the bottom line. If you do, you know, if I believe in something, I not only say I believe it, but I put my money where my mouth is. When a ministry calls me that I'm supporting, and they say, "We have a special need," and I have the ability to bless them, I'm going to do it. Because I believe in them. I believe in what they're doing. It's trust. Do we trust? Are we going to trust? My goodness, I don't think I'd go to a church if I didn't trust the people that I was going to church with. Because that can be very painful. Amen? Okay, I'm about to wrap things up here. I know you're all ready to head out back. Here's something I want to share with you that I think is, that might be, you know, maybe I've found a key here to receiving things from God. And I don't like to have formulas because God's not about formulas. God's about it being obedient. But sometimes there are certain steps and certain things that we have to do. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 8, Jesus says, he's talking about the parable of the sower that went out and sowed. He was sowing seed, and the seed was the word of God. And the seed fell on various grounds, but one seed fell on good ground, fertile ground. And on that fertile ground was 30, 60, and 100-fold return. And I've asked God, how is it that there are varying degrees of return based on, you know, your people? These are your people who received your word, living your word, applying your word. What is going on? How can we have various different degrees of return? Well, maybe. I'm not going to try to establish a major doctrine here, change anything. But maybe it has something to do with us in the way we approach our God. You know, here's another quick scripture I want to share with you. Ecclesiastes 4:12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, everybody knows that if you got a rope, the more that rope is bound with more twine, the stronger it becomes. So a threefold cord, he's saying, is extremely strong. Extremely strong. One of those strands could be somewhat strong, and it would accomplish something. You know, if I just took one strand off that rope and I needed to tie it to a wagon and pull my grandson around, I could probably accomplish that. But if I needed to pull my vehicle, most likely it would break. So each, if I had two strands, I could accomplish certain things. If I had three strands, all three strands, I could accomplish much more. Now in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, well, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go there and read it, but I'm going to share it with you. Verse 1 and 2, verse 5 and 6, and verse 16 and 18. Jesus is teaching us, and what the major teaching here, he teaches about giving, how important it is. He teaches about praying, how important it is. And he teaches about fasting. What if this is the answer to receiving a hundredfold return? What if you're a giver, you're going to, you know, that's good, that's wonderful, and you get 30-fold return. But if you're a giver and a prayer, you get it 60-fold return. But if you're a giver and a prayer and a faster, you get 100-fold return. That's just a possibility. I'm just sharing that with you. But what if that's true? If it's remotely true, if it's even a possibility, I want to do it. You know why? Not because I need a hundredfold return, but the hundredfold return is for the kingdom. It's for the power of God. It's for people's lives being changed and touched. A threefold cord is very strong. Last thing I want to share with you this morning is fasting is a source of supernatural power. Turn with me to Matthew 17. This is it. I'm wrapping up. Glory be to God. Everybody say, thank God. All right. Matthew 17. Verse 20 and 21. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for it. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, if we read the rest of that, we would find out that he's talking about a boy who is demon-possessed, and the demonic force is very strong. Now remember, God gave the disciple, or Jesus gave the disciples the ability to go out, preach, heal, and cast out demons. Now they've encountered one that is stronger than all the others they ever encountered. And Jesus says, this one is only going to come out if you get serious about praying and fasting. There is supernatural, additional supernatural power when we operate and when we walk in the discipline of fasting. It's that important for us. Jesus is our example. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights before he started his ministry. How much more can we accomplish? How much greater will things take place if we as believers in Jesus Christ can recognize that there are some spiritual disciplines, giving, fasting, reading the word, praying, all these things are so very, very important to us. And fasting is probably the one thing that is most difficult. It'll change things. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited about sharing this message with you today. Our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is to use this tool to equip believers to walk in the abundant life Jesus promised. If you'd like to know more about the ministry or have a prayer request, please visit our website at bethelwc.org. Have a blessed day.